It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it just makes hiring all in one place so easy because you just get unparalleled access to job seekers. Plus, listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/WCG. Just go to Indeed.com/WCG right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/WCG. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Tilford, joined by Ben Roy Turner.
Hello there.
And Zoe Miss Kelly.
I'm here for
traveling
now.
All the way across the lands from the What Culture Comics channel from so far away.
From dorks to dorks.
From dorklands to dork center. There's so much going on in the world right now, so many nightmarish scenarios. So rather than indulge in that stuff, we thought we'd do something completely opposite and have a lovely little argument, because we talk about this in the office quite a lot. And so when we were looking for topics to sort of broach that we could all chime in on, we're going to just do Bloodborne versus Sekiro, because none of us can seem to agree on one side over the other.
Because I really want Dragon Rot yet again.
You've got the Dragon Rot. That's what this is. So yeah, we'll go round and round. I much prefer Sekiro. Ben Roy's very much a Bloodborne person. Yes. Zoe's kind of in between, I think.
Someone has to be.
And we'll see. But in terms of opening statements, I'll get this started by saying that I think Bloodborne is just Dark Souls with a dash. Carry on.
It still really hurts me that you said that on a genuine level.
I remember going through it the first time, and the thing is, I love both of these games. I adore all the Lovecraftian stuff with Bloodborne. I love the aesthetic and the transforming weapons and this idea of Yharnam, this, like, you know, this gothic, like, you know, rainswept dank town and damp town that you know, is going through this like monster they're getting attacked or whatever, and they've kind of got this little You threw me off by doing your weird little moves. What are you doing?
Just waving my hair.
Distraction techniques will not be hard in the court. But yeah. I remember, like, loving the whole setup of this, you know, like this animal hunting group and transforming weapons and all that kind of stuff. But actually playing it, I just thought it played like Souls. Again, like, I'm being literal. I thought it felt like Souls with a dash.
The thing is, though, Souls is like moving through tripe sometimes, especially when you've got all that big lad armor on.
Yes.
Sorry for everyone that really loves it. But yeah,
some people do like heavies. Yeah.
I played solely as a heavy. No. It's fun, but you are just like, I'm just going to hang out in slow motion.
I'm more of a dodgesman. I like to dodge around all the time, and it's not really that good in Sekiro. You need to be pressing L1 and only L1.
What are you
L1
talking about?
Sekiro is the L1 game of L1. So, I mean, like, if you do anything else other than press L1, you're pretty much dead. That monkey of the poo, I mean, that's the only time you need to dodge, because his poo is going to poison you, mate.
Is that your opening statement, that you can bottle Sekiro down to press L1 the game?
Yes, but I will also go back to how, from the very moment of Bloodborne, I was sort of like intrigued by this new gothic world of Yharnam, and going through and discovering that the whole, is it a city? Is it a city? I'm going to say it's a city.
It's kind of like a city.
Yeah, that how they sort of descended into madness. And I like then going from that down into the depths of the world and discovering more things. Part of that, like, this is jumping way ahead, but the Chalice Dungeons, like, I like the idea of randomized fights. But for me, like, out of all the games, like, sure, I've had a lot of rage moments in Sekiro, but I will never, never forget my first time fighting the blood-starved beast and being ruined by
beast.
And being ruined by it. Mm-hmm. And just going back and going, you know what, I'm going to fight this lad again. Optional boss, I'm going to kill it.
Zoe, where do you come down on this?
So
you don't have to pick a side, but
I don't have to pick a side.
You can,
but I now feel obliged, because this argument will otherwise go on for another month.
It will forever.
I brought you here for a reason, Zoe.
True. I think I like the story of Bloodborne much more. I think the lore. I don't know if it's just because I'm very much into that sort of, like you say, the very gothic, the very like, here's a spooky beast from space, like element of it. But I think the gameplay of Sekiro is probably more nuanced in the sense of, I liked Bloodborne, but I like Bloodborne because I could panic and just dodge around. And they'd be go on then. You've dodged a lot. You've, you know, you deserve this.
I think that's why I like it, because it's not as rigid as Sekiro. It's not just, you know, like, you know, paint by numbers, pressing L1 and only paint with L1.
Or you beat the final boss using all the extra powers, so it's not just...
I mean, I beat the final boss by utilizing the shield and also utilizing the power of L1. I mean, I actually did. Can we just say something about that final boss quickly?
Oh, yeah, sure. We might as well say that full-on spoilers for both games, if we need to.
Is it Isshin?
Isshin the Sword Saint, yeah.
And before him, you fight Man with Boat.
The final boss is in three phases, so it's all classed as that, but whatever. Like, you fight different
One of my problems with this is... when you get to the last phase, like, sure, I kind of enjoyed the challenge of the last boss, but doing the first three fights every time I died was so annoying.
At that point, though, you had it memorized because...
Yeah, but it's just time. It's just so long sometimes. It feels like you would go there and you get the cheeky little, oh, I'm going to execute you and move on to the next stage, but... then your hands get clammy and sweaty, and then you get rage and you get more. And then I pause.
That's the good
sitting
in.
Then I pause and send you a message, and I'm trying to hate this game so much.
So you talked before about going back to the Bloodstarved Beast. Did you have any trouble with that as well, Zoe? Or is he all right?
I don't want to upset you, but
I don't mind.
I'd already played all of the Dark Souls games, so by the time I got to Bloodborne, I was like, ah.
Well, this is the thing, because
that was my first foray really into the Soul series.
Right. See, that's another thing as well, is that some people sort of talk about the first time you play one of these games, something by From Software, whether it's a Souls game, Bloodborne, or Sekiro, that tends to be the one that you love the most.
Yeah, that's my theory too, because I played Dark Souls 2 first, which most people will rightfully say is probably the lesser of...
Yeah, most people don't like that game.
Yeah, but I played it first, and I played so much of it that I was like, this is the best version of it ever. And then I played 1, and it felt slow, but you just have to...
Because for me, it would be the first Dark Souls in regards to that, but I was going to ask, like, in regards to the Bloodstarved Beast, or any, you know, spike of difficulty in Bloodborne, what was it in your case, Benroy, what was it that made you, like, more okay with trying again and again in Bloodborne, but in Sekiro, it's like, ah, this is just crap?
Again, for me, Sekiro is so rigid, and it's like, you're playing like this. For me, like Bloodborne, like for a while, like, what is the original claw, the axe thing you get at the beginning, which you can extend it? It's on the front cover of the game.
Yeah, I mean, I know what you call it.
I used that axe for a while, but then I switched to the actual Final Fantasy style sword. You get that little lad and you stab it in the back and you've got the big chunk.
Oh, the big Spyhunter thing.
Yeah, I went with that all the way. That was my thing that I fully upgraded
as
well.
But you like being a dodgy boy.
But then I would just, like, you know, poke, dodge, poke. And then when I think I've got something going, big lad come out, slap. Back to the little thing, poke. I just like being able to sort of like freely run around, and I feel like you can just move fast and you can kind of do what you want to do. Mm-hmm. Whereas in, I don't know, especially sometimes in Sekiro, I feel like I was like, I pressed L1. What the hell's
going on? Every time with the L1.
I've run away, but somehow I feel like, especially in that game, I don't know, this isn't science, but I feel like in Sekiro...
Before this whole podcast,
gravity works in Sekiro where they're magnetized to you a lot more.
I've literally got footage on YouTube you can watch of me getting hit by a Bloodborne guy, and I'm on the other side of the arena. Yeah, Bloodborne.
I don't believe this.
I'll show you.
And how I will dodge around someone, but they don't. I see they're already hit in one way, but they just just always are locked onto.
You gotta get good, mate. You talk about using L1, but you didn't use it, did you?
I like dodging.
You struggled with some weird bosses when we talked about it, though. The centipede guy, like the first one you fight. Me and Scott had this conversation.
I forget who that is now. My rage is so clouded.
He's the statue lad with the... I'm assuming you mean the one that's the statue, the Buddha looking dude. Mm-hmm. Where the centipede comes out the neck, and you gotta fight him.
Isn't that the corrupted monk?
No, way before. It's when you go to the area with the corrupted monk.
Mm-hmm. The corrupted monk as well. Because every time it swings you...
Look, we'll talk about bosses and your sexually charged noises.
I'm just going to the monk.
This is therapy.
Yeah, I think for the combat stuff, do you think that character builds play a major part? Like, did you miss that in Sekiro?
I don't know, because I very much liked with Sekiro that it felt more like you had to be like, oh, well, I want to do this. I want to get this ability, and I want to do cool things. Like the Raven's Feather thing where you can like dodge around.
Yeah.
I spent ages getting it. Used it like twice. I was like, oh, I hate this.
Yeah, I couldn't. reliable for me for that.
I think it varies very much with what playstyle you want, but I do think that was something that was similar with Bloodborne. Because I also went slow boy style.
I have, like, Ben, we should, like, talk about this character customization stuff. But another thing that I don't rate Bloodborne is I feel like you play Bloodborne the same after 30 hours as you do after 30 minutes. Like, yeah, you get different weapons, but you're not fundamentally advancing as a player, whereas Sekiro will hand you your own face in the opening. And by the end, like, you know, even after playing Sekiro, I went back to Bloodborne and I beat Father Gascoigne, like, just straight away. And I was like, oh, man, my reaction times and my hand-eye coordination, everything is elevated because I've gotten used to Sekiro over time. And for me, there's a real progression there in terms of like a meta narrative or a meta sensibility of this. You're getting better as a gamer, as a player, and Bloodborne doesn't push you anywhere near.
I feel like what you said also applies to Sekiro, because you cannot play
I'm talking about Sekiro.
I
said that quite aggressively there. I'm talking about Sekiro.
You can't play any differently in that game. You've got to do how it wants you. Like, remember when I first fought that man with the stick?
That was you and that man with the stick.
When I first jumped in this game,
yes.
I went to the mystery castle.
You mean the chap in Sekiro, the first spear man?
Nighttime castle. I thought, yes, I'd go to Nighttime castle because I'm a bit bored of this other world,
yes,
with the little frog lads. And
the little frog boys.
We have hat shields and spin around and throw poison stars at you.
Use that one, mate.
But stick man, mm-hmm, I was still very much trying to play it like Bloodborne. And oh my God,
Do you not like that, though, that they force you to not use the same mold? Because that's my biggest negative with Bloodborne, is that it's just more, again, it's more Souls.
I don't know, because when I played, I did about half a Souls 3, I was very much trying to be a bow and arrow man in that, like, play that differently to Bloodborne. But it's just something for me, I just doesn't click with that. It just doesn't click. And yes, the Makiro counter is one of the best things in video games, but... Well.
Against spear people, it is.
I mean, like, after a while, it's just stepping on a stick, isn't it?
Well, if you get it right,
I'm being really reductive. Sorry, Ron. Sekiro's all right.
I guess, do you think that, like, because would the character customization stuff come into that in terms of, like, varying ways that you can play these games? Sekiro does mean that you only have a sword, mm-hmm, and you do get some power up later, but even they are metered based on tokens you
After
have.
A while, I did stop customizing Bloodborne and the fact that I used the one weapon because I wanted to get the platinum. So you have to, like, put the upgrade into one weapon. You can never do it again.
But his main weapon is always the sword. Like, yeah. You can't pick up the spears or anything.
I had a look at some of the other ones, like that weird whip and stuff. But there were so many sort of, like, options in that game that you can use if you want to. Mm-hmm. But I just felt so satisfied with the sword that transforms into the big sword.
Oh, you mean the Bloodborne? I think that's the Svihunder becomes the big hammer. I was talking about in Sekiro. They give you that one sword and you sort
of... In Sekiro, I like the idea of everything. I wish it was more Tenchu than it was Souls, like in Sekiro. Like, I feel like
I love Tenchu.
If you took the Souls out of that and made it went full Tenchu, then you
just have another Tenchu. I like that they hybridize. Like, because have you played Tenchu, Zoe?
No.
Like, old school, it's probably been before you were born. There was a little stealth series.
Don't do this.
And I think I like the fact that they hybridized this old school, you know, wall clinging stealth, the way stealth used to be done, you know, with that sort of Soulsian approach, but they give you the jump button, they give you all the different moves that you can unlock and everything. I thought that, for me, Sekiro is just a much more bold, like, progressive package because they're taking more things rather than just doing Souls with the dodge.
Yeah, I mean, you've raised a point there, because one of my favorite parts about Sekiro is, like, oh, I need to fight this guy, do I? Well, I'm going to jump up this building 7 times, take out each one of his boys, and then rock up like, oh, you didn't expect me the 8th time? Here I am, hanging out. Whereas Bloodborne, it's like, oh, well, there's the enemy, so I'm going to go fight him. I will have fun, but I'm going to have to just run over. He's going to notice me. I'm going to freak out.
Because I think, like, because overall as well, because when you finished Sekiro, obviously you were glad it was done. Like, did you have the same...
So glad.
Yeah, did you have the same feeling with Bloodborne? You were like, that was great. I want to play that again. And why?
I think if I didn't move on, I might have wanted to play it again. Like, the three different endings, I did the thing where you can just, you know, get a save off the cloud so I didn't have to play the whole game again to do the other endings. Mm-hmm. But... Yeah, I just, something about Bloodborne, like, it felt like a weird rite of passage that I'd never played any of these Souls games. And I'm like, finally, I'm going to get into this and I'm going to do it. When I was sort of in that mode, I couldn't really play any other game. Mm-hmm. And I always wanted to play it. Whether it's Sekiro, just every time I was playing it, I was like, oh, sit down. I'm being sentenced to 3 or 4 hours now.
What was it about it that made it feel like that, though? Like, is it just because, like you said, it's rigid, so it's like you will either get really good at this particular version of rock, paper, scissors, or you're screwed and that's
for
it.
For me, I feel like so many of the bosses in Sekiro are all based around having a big stick and having really, like, long runs.
You mean metaphorically? Like, they've all got their version of a big stick?
Someone, there are literal ones that, like, half of them might have big sticks. Like, the guy on the sword has a big stick. The corrupted monk both times has a big stick.
That's two.
Ishin has a big stick.
He has a sword.
He has a big stick.
He ends up with a big stick.
Yeah, he has the biggest stick.
Man throws the lightning at you, too.
Yeah. Sometimes that lightning cannon does not work as well.
It so does, even though I'll give you that it's a bit more finicky.
Yeah.
Have you had a go with the lightning cannon? I know you've not had you haven't done the final boss just yet.
But you might have the lightning cannon. With the first lightning cannon.
Genichiro, yeah.
Because I played it like 3 or 4 times at that point. And I was like, I keep just trying to run away from it. I'm just going to have to face the lightning. And it was like my definitive anime moment where like I was finally like, right, let's just do it.
Yeah.
And I countered it, pretty much killed him and was like, I could have done that the whole time.
That's another thing that I think is in that sort of meta category or that intrinsic quality of Sekiro, in that like you have to overcome yourself and it's proper like, you know, like the mind and body type stuff. But like I said, Bloodborne doesn't force you to reconcile that your own rage is the thing in the way of you understanding what's wrong.
Like, it made me in a couple fights.
Right. But what I mean is, in Sekiro, once you've like calmed and breathed and go, okay, it's just a series of mechanics. He's going to do this. I'm going to do this. Like, and for me, as soon as I calmed myself, I overcame those bosses and I was like, yep, I've advanced as a player. Like, because I can manage that stuff.
I think there's more cheese. Like, you can do more cheesing in Bloodborne as well. I like that in a game where you can just like, it's just going around and cheese something. Like, I think I use a lot more of the items in Bloodborne than I did in Sekiro. I didn't really use any items in Sekiro like, as much until towards the end.
Okay.
In the Isshin fight. Mm-hmm. When I started like slitting my wrists to get some more powers to get that shield up, just like, just anything, please.
When did you shift between like, I'm enjoying the challenge, like assumedly Bloodborne maintained that level of like, I'm enjoying this challenge versus like, oh God, this is a slog. Because I felt that in Sekiro, but I always thought it was rewarding when I finally overcame it. I wasn't like, oh God, the next thing. Because like, my wife hates these games because she just can't get through them.
In Sekiro, it started at the very beginning, I was like into it and then I hated it. Mm-hmm. And then through the middle of Sekiro, I sort of like fell into some sort of rhythm. It sort of like left me again once you leave Hypnotizing Fish World, where they start like...
it's like a Mario world.
Where they start drawing you towards them so they can like gobble you up or something, like your face.
Was your turning point though, like was it the Makiri guy? Was it basically the idea that the game is going, okay, do this one thing and we're just going to keep punching you in the face until you realize that you have to do this one thing? And that in itself feels cheap and annoying.
Yeah, I don't...
Because Bloodborne, really, you can always experiment and find another way around.
You don't really get many games now that make you just do that one thing the whole time.
It's like a platform.
And I think, after I killed Makiri Stickman, I was so done with that game. I had to just put it down for a while.
That's like the tutorial fight.
And then I came back to it and fought that big ball lad, and then it got to like, you know, explore a bit more of the world and get back into it. And I think props to Sekiro for having that like one area. I wish that area was bigger, where you had like the more tense, you sort of like the buildings high up and sort of thing, crazy man that comes out of the sky and just screams at you. But what I always say is, like, I do hate in these games, I think it's funny, but I do hate in these games where there's always like man around corner who knows you're coming.
Right, right.
Like, oh my.
Because that's kind of like, that is the crux of like that idea, that difference between like it's challenging and it's cheap. And it's like, just because you die doesn't mean that it was challenging. It just means that they programmed something that was always going to kill you. And it's like in Dark Souls, there's one bit when you're down in the skeleton graveyard bit in the first game, and there's a guy right around the corner who just kicks you off the ledge because lol. And like Neo 2 has a whole bunch. Yeah, Neo 2 has a whole bunch of them where there's characters that live in the trees, that sit in the trees. And as you walk under, it looks like an empty pathway, and the dude just lands on you and takes out 3/4 of your health.
I will say with Sekiro, I think I was lucky in the sense that, because I'd been, you know, raised on Souls at this point.
Right.
Say I got to the point where the monkeys surprise attack you, and I was just immediately like, just attack these
bushes.
Like, of course. I don't trust these bushes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you had it from an earlier age. So
I was literally just like, well, I know exactly what's going to happen here. Empty area? I don't think so.
That you do kind of build up that feeling of like, well, clearly something's going to happen. Yeah. And it's like in Souls, that was just me holding L1 all the time, like, which is ironic because that's what they ended up playing a whole game out of in Sekiro.
I really liked the pistol in Bloodborne as well. I like the idea of like, stunning. I think they're just a stun when you...
It doesn't do much damage, but you can't interrupt attacks and stuff.
Yeah.
Sometimes I did just like, screw it. I know he's got just enough health, so if I shoot 12 shots or whatever it is, you're going to die. Mm-hmm. But I like the idea of like being mid-combat, moving really... I really like moving fast in these games and sort of like not stopping as much and being able to just...
You could literally jump in Sekiro.
Jedi Fallen, but you jump, you just get hit with a big stick. In Jedi Fallen Order, like as well, where...
Not if you're blocking midair.
They favoured more of you. But I want to dodge in midair. They favoured more of you, like, also blocking rather than dodging. I discovered that too late in that game. But I just think about, I like to dodge more than block. And I think that's just wired into my brain somewhere.
Okay. I would argue
that's why I don't like playing as shield people. I do it in Dark Souls, but...
Just because you come from Bloodborne. But you're like, why isn't this Bloodborne? Yeah.
I want to be able to just dodge and have a satisfying dodge where I can know I can sort of like press circle like 2 or 3 times and be like, okay, one second, get back into it, sort of thing.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This podcast is brought to you by Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it just makes hiring all in one place so easy, because you just get unparalleled access to job seekers. Plus, listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/WCG. Just go to Indeed.com/WCG right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/WCG. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I quite like that. Like I said, I think part of like why another reason why I love Sekiro is that it forces you out of that mold, because yeah. That's so safe. Like, and they've got four games if you combine, well, five if you add Demon's Souls, the Dark Souls trilogy, and Bloodborne. We've been doing the same stuff in all those games: turtle around the back, poke them in the bum until they go down, and then play the game. And it's just like, it's one of those things where I got sick of that, and I was like, I don't just want this. And I, even though, and like Jules will attest to this, the first time we played it at the press event, I was hating it, because I was just like, I can't do anything, I'm getting put down, I'm not learning anything, F this game, I'm not learning anything at all. And it was, and again, like I said, it was me. I had to just take a step back and go, well, what mechanics are on offer? What can,
just
like,
don't punish yourself like I punish myself.
No, because you can't force it to be something that you want it to be. You can only apply yourself to what it is. Like, it's not, for me, that's the intrinsic thing with this, because it isn't blood. It fundamentally says screw that, and I kind of love that.
Yeah, I guess so. Like, I think I've gotten so used to games just like kind of letting you, as I said, letting you do what you want to do, that when you're being told what to do now, it's such an alien concept for the most part.
It does sit in that idea, though, that it's more cheap than challenging, because like Bloodborne and the old Souls games, they have so much experimentation in regards to the way you build your character, the weapons, the approaches, like the way you move around on the field. But yeah, Sekiro does distill it down to press, like, you know, go for rock when they go for scissors.
I will say that all the time. I braided the but I actually I enjoy parts of it. I enjoy something about these soul genre. Like, I'm never comfortable in these games. I'm always on, like, oh, where's this?
Some people love that.
Where's something? Yeah,
I'm a masochist, a huge masochist.
I think that's why I carried on, not only to just prove you wrong and say that I can finish this game, and I did, but more to be tortured and then get through the game and then get that. Just get.
I was so proud of you finishing it, and then you were like, I hated it. And I was like, oh, I thought you would like turn at some point and be like, no, I feel the, you know, I've got to the top of the rocks. I'm Rocky dancing around stairs.
What the magical sort of like little paper lads that you got in the bottom corner that you use every time?
Yeah, that's like spirit tokens.
I had my last 20 and I beat him on my last 20. I was like, oh.
Did that not feel amazing though?
No, I was so, I think I lost the year of my life. Again,
he's like, aged.
I was sweat, like so clammy on my hands, like not being like that for such a long time.
Just, just knowing it's done.
Yeah.
Zoe, where'd you come down on the split between like cheap and challenging? And
I've realized possibly my big concern is that the reason I like Sekiro so much is because it was like, oh, you played Dark Souls, did you? This is going to hurt.
Yeah.
This is going to really hurt, because obviously, like a couple times I went to deflexively just block, because I was like, if I just keep blocking, it's fine. And then they're like, you thought
you're gonna run out of poise, you're gonna be broken,
it's all gonna go wrong real fast. Like the first fight where I truly was like, oh, I need to learn some things. I think it's is it Genshiro, the horseman?
No, I forget what you call that dude, but he's like the second or third boss. Yeah.
Once you realize that you can just sort of like rope onto him and sort of hit him, that fight was actually one of the more fun. I know it's the easiest, the first boss fight, but it's one of the more fun boss fights because I never enjoyed fighting Big Monkey throwing poo at you. Like, nothing about that was ever nice.
The thing is, like that, I can't think what you call that boss, but yeah, the second or third one is one big guy riding a horse. And that guy killed everybody at our initial demo session when we very first played it. But again, I love that the solution to that is just think about it. Just like you have the prompt. To use the grapple hook, he's going to do a massive turning circle when he runs past you. So it's like, okay, those are two massive weak spots. You have the same thing with the Raging Bull fight. And once you realize that, it's like, calm, figure it out, cool. And you take him apart straight away. I actually beat him the first time I went through, even though I got savaged, totally, massive flex, even though I got absolutely savaged by him in the press event. And like that's intrinsically why, for me, Sekiro is infinitely better, because it makes you better as a player.
Put it this way, I beat him second time, but Stickman, it took me a week to beat that man.
What kept messing you up?
I didn't want to play it like Sekiro. I wanted to be able to
dodge around him.
Yeah, I was throwing sort of oil at him, trying to set him on fire and get some chip damage on like that. And I would move too, like I would get so angry and then try and beat those two shield people just before that and then get stuck there again. I was like, ooh.
Because I think, I don't know if you guys have gone back to that area. Obviously the Makiri guy doesn't respawn, the Shinobi Hunter. But if you go back to that area, I restarted and did a fresh save after I finished it, just, you know, sadomasochism. And going back to that bit, I got through that so fast, but it was because of like muscle memory. Like you sort of know, okay, this enemy requires this attack. But that was more rewarding than just restarting Bloodborne, losing all the items and whatever, because I'd already like, you know, unlocked this next like set of abilities within me kind of thing in terms of when to parry and how to move and how to like use that game's blocking system, which I don't know. I think that's more enriching in terms of replayability. But obviously you lose all the character customization stuff in Sekiro.
For me, I could just run through Yharnam anytime. I really got into that and just love the experience of just going around that gothic town and just hitting some really disturbed screaming people and then giant crows.
Oh, those crows are horrible. Those crows are the worst thing.
Are they worse than the chickens in Sekiro? I don't know.
I would say so. The first time one of those raven things comes off the ground and like
isn't it underneath loads of like trash?
Yeah, because you go around a corner and it's like, oh, unassuming pile of what looks like leaves. There's probably some sort of ogre that's going to drop off a building. No, it's a raven. The leaves are going to come to life and go for your face. And it's the worst possible thing.
Can I just also ask?
Yes.
Because obviously, getting through Sekiro, every now and then, maybe every boss, look at a video just to see how it goes. Mm-hmm. But do you think it is... What do you think about them removing sort of like techniques that people would use to beat them? Like say...
Like the turtling stuff.
6 months in, they just like, oh, they patch something out now.
Well, I like that. I mean, it's hard. It's gray territory because I think I'm always like a stickler for whatever that developer's creative vision is, but I don't necessarily think it gets locked when it goes to retail. If there's something they clearly missed, like if someone finds out a cheese, like something like that.
Because the corrupted monk, when it first appears, you can... up to a tree and they can't see you and you can just jump down and kill it and you can do that twice.
And they patched that out?
They removed one of them, yes.
Yeah, so you have to
legit fight it as it goes.
You love that. That's your favourite noise in the game.
It's the only good thing about Sekiro.
I know, keeping them awake at half 2 in the morning.
It's when you get to that area and you think, oh, I'm going to get something new. Nope, straight away, corrupted monk there.
See, right there, that's your main problem. Why do you expect something fun?
And I fought the ghost one first before the real one.
That was another thing, was you kind of played it in a weird order, which Zoe, you can speak to as well. You sort of... the thing is, it's not the wrong... It isn't the wrong way to do it, but I think it's just that the majority of people seem to go all the way to Geneshiro, go all the way up the castle, and then do the stuff with the monkeys, the great ape, and all that side stuff. But you guys both did the other way around. I think you fought Geneshiro way later.
I didn't go in the tiny window, because of course I didn't go in the tiny window.
There's clearly something bad in there, so I don't know.
I knew where he was, but I was too busy balancing rice on my nose, trying to do all these other little side things.
You've only got to get 12 grains.
Finding the big crying man and giving him some pinwheels, and then... fighting Roberto on the
that
bridge.
Other guy, you guys both struggled with Roberto as well.
I just struggle with him, all right?
Well, maybe Benroy did.
Can you hear me out? Like, there are pillars there, and then there are bits that break, and he smashes the bits that break, but every goddamn time I threw him, he would just graze the pillar, and he'd be like, nope, I'm here now. Oh, my health is recharged. I would just be like, take me, kill me.
Just put me out of my misery.
So I did get strong vibes where it was just like, oh, I've done it. This is finally the time I'll kill him. And he's like, what if I just turn my back to you slightly? Oh, it's a shame, isn't it? And I'd just stand there like, I can't do this.
Because the thing is, I've not gone back through Sekiro to get back to that fight, but I beat that thing straight away. Maybe it was just sheer luck of placement, because like the whole crack with that boss, you fight him in this weird little sort of enclosed wooden bridge, and you have to kick him off the side. You can't just do a fatality, like finisher thing on him. But for me, when you do that move, he kicks, your guy kicks him, Wolf kicks him. And for me, his back was already to the side, so he fell off. And I was like, oh, I thought he was meant to be a joke boss. So when everyone was like, oh, he's like this big bad deal, I was like, well, to me, he wasn't.
For me, it was like, I think at least four times he clipped that bit. I was like, I can't do this anymore.
Mine was twice, but one really long, just like, because he couldn't hit me and I couldn't kill him. Right. So it was like, is this my day now? Are we just going to hang out for an hour or two, get a coffee? I don't.
And before that, there's like four or five little frog boys that you need to get past every time.
Me and the frog boys had an understanding. I was like, I'm going to go through. The same time. And they were like, yeah, go on. You're 5 foot 2, get through.
I hate them. They're one of the worst enemies. Before that, some Darth Maul guys as well that spin around so far. I was like, I'm just running away from you. I don't need to fight you.
Okay, this is interesting. Zoe, did you have the same mindset as Benroy when some like a new element like that was introduced, where you went, oh god, I've got to learn this new thing to take care of them? Or was it still that more exciting sort of let's do this rush of
again,
Souls or Bloodborne?
Dark Souls masochism, so I'd be right. Like, hello new friend, yeah, time to hang out. And then if they, you know, if they kicked my ass, I'd be like, I'll be over here at the next checkpoint, I'll hang out.
Because did you fall into the being like, this is just frustrating side, or did it never get that bad?
For me, these types of games are very much like an exercise in anger management, where it's like, I recognize this is frustrating and that I am frustrated, but that will only lead to a greater sense of zen.
Right.
And I think Sekiro helped that, because it's very much like samurai, you know, warrior, let's hang out, let's chill.
There's Kung Fu Panda. There's a really frustrating point in Bloodborne, which a lot of people hate, which I didn't really mind, is those people that sort of like, if they see you, they give you the fear bar and they just corrupt you and kill you straight away. Uh-huh. But I don't mind that, but just when I come into Sekiro and just Darth Maul's just spinning around, or I'm getting poisoned by Frog Boy, or
I think your real enemy is within.
Is it within? Yeah, I think what it was, I wanted to be fast. I want everyone else to be slow around me.
But you are that.
Sekiro
dude, Wolf dude moves so much faster than everybody else.
Like, I don't think he moves faster than the Hunter in Bloodborne.
Oh, I totally do. You can jump, you can kick off the walls, you can flip over guys, you can use that Raven thing to teleport around.
That bounce and that flip does not work sometimes, because there are times that I thought I was meant to be landing on someone to stun them so I can get a little stab. Mm-hmm. Nope.
What do you mean nope?
Nope.
Just no.
Just nope, don't work.
My thing with that was, I like that you can, if you jump into someone, you can kick off them and it sort of stuns them. They do that in boss fights.
There was also some special abilities where, especially for the centipede boys, if you jump, you could just murder them.
Yeah.
It was like, hey.
But that's the thing, there's always a method. Like, I'm not saying that it's completely infallible, because like I did get beyond frustrating with it. Yeah. But I had that moment where I was like, they're veteran developers, they know what they're doing, they're designing a very specific game. There obviously are issues with it going away from all the different options you had in terms of combat and character builds from the other games. But I don't know, I that's the thing though, I don't know whether that's a fundamental negative or a positive that they reduced it down to.
One of the best fights in that game is so simple, that one in the clouds.
Yes. Oh, the big dragon fight.
Yeah, yeah.
I love that.
Also, that sort of like Wolverine lad who just like swipes you really fast.
I tell you what, I think that big dragon fight is meant to be their way of teaching you this is exactly how to do the lightning counter.
Yeah.
Because that boss, for the most part, only attacks you in lightning bolts.
Can you get through the game without the lightning counter? Because I know you have to kill the guy below. Is it Genichiro?
Genichiro is the guy you fight on the roof.
Before you fight Genichiro, there's someone in the sort of like a little room below him, and you have to kill him to I don't. Because you go in there, you read the thing, but then you have to kill him to get out because you get a fog wall.
Yeah, then there's probably a way. I don't know how else you would damage the dragon, because he's like kind of like behind like a
barrier thing. Like, I wonder if you can
skip that fight, can't you?
Yeah, because I wonder if you get to if you can just go through the whole game and not do that.
Mm. In terms of overall game design, like from front to back, like, do you think the Bloodborne is just better put together in terms of the way it introduces its elements? It doesn't punish you too much up front, or do you think that overall, I guess, is it just Bloodborne's a better package?
Give me what Sekiro did in that town area, but with Yharnam. Like, give me more than just one directed route in Yharnam, and I would say Bloodborne would just crush it easily. But I feel like there is a bit more variety in Sekiro with the level design, and I like the fact that you're just jumping off ledges and you're just like, spouncing.
That was the Tenchu feel for me. Yeah. Like just leaping off the top of some massive, like, old school feudal Japanese castle and then catching yourself at the last minute. Like, but that's proper Tenchu.
Design and aesthetic and everything else like that, I really... dicked Bloodborne.
So would you come down on both packages in full?
I mean, I'm a goth at heart. So
hell yeah.
There'll always be a little bit of Bloodborne.
Space aliens?
A little bit space alien, mm-hmm. weird little, you know, celestial creatures hanging out.
Do you think that like made you want to play through it more as well? Like in terms of, I don't know how much you feel that Sekiro has enough, has as much of a hook, narrative hook, a story hook. Because I like that in Sekiro, they give you a voice protagonist in cutscenes, which the other ones don't have.
Yeah, whereas Bloodborne, I was like, here it is, me.
They go figure it out.
There was a lot of times when you had to just like, who naturally finds bits when you go, obviously probably loads, I'm going to get destroyed for this. You go behind the house and like, you listen in, like a part of the story. Right. Is a lot of that, like a lot to get through that story is like listening in to things.
Well, that's what I mean by the old school formula again, the Souls formula, because a lot of that story, well, all of that story is in item descriptions and like some ancillary NPC dialogue, which I like that. I think that's worked for them wonders. Like, you know, they have like 6 years of that stuff. But I quite like that they kind of took a step back and go, okay, this is like a more driven narrative. Like you need to save that young boy and, you know, you have like very specific things you're doing, there's dragon rot, and they explain all that stuff.
Oh, I've got dragon rot right now.
I know, I can tell.
Same with that though. I am looking forward to being punished by Elden Ring. I'm gonna get that. I'm gonna get it day one.
You're gonna hate it.
I'm gonna let it. How is it gonna work? Are we gonna do spells? What are we gonna do?
I was gonna say, why are you excited for that when you hated Sekiro?
Just, punish me.
But you hated Sekiro.
I mean, I hated it, but it's all right at the same time.
Oh, he's gonna restart it and love it.
I'm not restarting Sekiro.
You are Scott's Dragon Rock.
Literally, I've created him. This is like Tyler Durden popping out. I guess unless there's anything else you guys want to throw in, I guess in general, you're still very much Bloodborne.
I like the speed of it. I like the ability to maybe change up a weapon if you want. Comical wooden shield, let's go. I also just like the pistol. I like the idea of parrying people with a pistol and then going in for the kill. I like the aesthetic of it. I just the character designs in the world. And I think everything about that game is on point.
That game has such a mood.
I think it's their best game they've ever made. And I'm looking forward to seeing if Elden Ring can touch it. Mm-hmm. And also, I would like a Bloodborne too.
Zoe, what have you thought of all this madness?
This has made me come to the conclusion that I think Sekiro, like the reason it might be controversial among people who've played like previous FromSoft games is that it has more of like a definitive like divergence, if that makes sense. Like it clearly actively makes changes to the formula, if you will. Yeah. And I don't think that's a bad thing because I don't, as much as I love Dark Souls, we can't just keep having Dark Souls because that would be my argument.
Yeah.
I'm Bruce eating the whole chocolate cake at that point.
That's another thing for me is I don't just want the same thing over and over again. I always thought it's fascinating with FromSoft because they keep signing with different publishers and it's like, well, they did Bloodborne for Sony and then when they did Sekiro, it's with Activision. And Sekiro is almost like, although obviously the difficulty gets in the way of this, but it's almost like them distilling the formula for a mass audience. And it's just like, you know, here you go, you know what you need to do, press L1. But like whether you're going to be able to figure it out or not is a different thing. You know, and it kind of stands to reason that Sekiro is like one of their highest selling ever. But so are you still in between the two?
I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to finish my Bloodborne New Game Plus play and then I'm going to New Game Plus Sekiro.
Oh God.
And then I'm going to see how I feel.
We'll
probably
never see
bad.
You.
Probably bad is the answer. But I think that's the only way I can have a definitive answer. Mm-hmm.
That's that's a good closing statement. Just, oh God.
You'll probably do all that before I finish Elden Ring.
Maybe. We tend to end these podcasts on the hashtag WCGP. You can head over to Twitter to leave us different questions and thoughts, and you can weigh in on Bloodborne versus Sekiro. I'm hoping for a Sekiro victory, but you never know. Let's do a
poll after this.
We'll totally put a poll up. Well, oh God, I'm going to eat my sweet words. But anyway, we got a question in from Alex Hubersty. We can end the podcast on this, who says, what really good video game has really bad soundtrack?
Anything where the soundtrack repeats, because if I play it slowly and the soundtrack re-repeats, I'm like, I get it, man.
Like, yeah, I have that with like NPC dialogue and stuff when it's just sort of, you know, like, oh, I don't know, like that was a really good kill. And it's just like 10 seconds, like, that was a really good kill.
Yeah.
And I was like,
actually, okay. The Ring Fit.
Oh, God.
The Ring Fit needs
not to... the sweet little Ring Fit.
Look, I like it, right? But imagine how much better it would have been if when you fight that dragon, it hits like a metal soundtrack.
Oh my God. If you got Mick Gordon to like score Ring Fit.
Exactly.
Just bringing the old, the rip and tearings.
I'd be
a huge fan.
By now.
I think for me, it's I'm going to do a really wide one because I can't think of anything specific, but a lot of the stuff across the 2000s, other than like the likes of Tony Hawk, I can't think of that many games that really had like a big licensed soundtrack or made the effort to go, this is a big bombastic score. And I think that's something that we got across the 2010s. So a lot of it, when you go back to the 2000s games, especially the action games, it's just really muddy, trying to be new metal style guitar work. And loads of stuff like Planet Snowblind or Urban Chaos or whatever, they have really like forgettable, but trying to be memorable soundtracks. So it would be kind of mid-2000s action for me.
I'm going to shoot here. I can't remember any bit of music from Horizon Zero Dawn. So that's my pick there. Just looking for a list of games I've just beaten recently and I can't remember any bit of music from that.
Actually, as I said, mine, it was meant to be really good games with bad soundtracks. So mine totally doesn't work. Ring Fit totally does and Horizon totally does. I will totally second Horizon. I couldn't name you a single piece of music or hum it or anything.
I think as well, I don't like as in Skyrim, I don't like the just like... I don't like the Skyrim music either. Like,
what a note to end on, man.
You don't like Skyrim's music?
No.
Fuzzro, get out.
You don't feel powerful.
I'd rather play Fallout New Vegas. Maybe
we can't do another one yet.
Glad that we're going on lockdown, to be honest.
Fallout versus Skyrim next.
Next time on WCGP. But yeah, head over to Twitter, use the hashtag WCGP to weigh in on the absolute insanity of the things that we say. For now, though, this has been the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I've been your host, Scott Taylor, joined by Ben Turner.
Goodbye.
And Zoe Muskelly.
Thank you.
And we'll catch you next time. Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.